This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
You're back with Total Information AM. I'm Megan Lynch alongside Tom Ackerman, and we look at technology today in our weekly talk with KMOX legal analyst Brad Young, partner at Harris, Dow, Fisher and Young. Brad, federal prosecutors say a North Carolina musician broke the law when he created songs using AI, used bots to stream them, and then got millions of dollars in royalty payments. Explain the allegations in this case. It's a little complicated.
It is, Megan, and good morning. It is complicated, but it's also fascinating in how this particular individual used technology literally to beat the system. Let me explain. He created, according to the indictment, he created artificial music using AI. They weren't real songs. They were just AI-generated songs. And then he created software, they're called bots, to stream all of his artificially created songs on various streaming platforms like Amazon, Apple Music, Spotify, YouTube, and so forth. He was streaming approximately 661,000 streams per day. And over the course of a very short period of time, he generated over $10 million in royalties by streaming with bots, artificially, of course, his songs, like I said, 600,000 times a day. And so over the course of time, because he spread out these streams with thousands of songs over multiple streaming platforms, the idea was to get around the built-in protections that, for example, Spotify and Apple Music and so forth, they have protections to try to alert them to this type of activity. But his attempt to get around it was very broad, very complex, and yet he was indicted this week in North Carolina because really this hurts legitimate musicians, because those royalties that he received would have otherwise been paid to people who were legitimately producing music that people were legitimately listening to, instead of it being artificially listened to by bots that, of course, aren't really listening to anything.
It's unbelievable. I mean, when I heard this story for the first time, it's so complex and so elaborate. How did he get paid? I mean, who's paying him royalties? How does that happen?
Well, every time music is streamed, whether, again, regardless of the streaming platform, every time music is streamed, there is a very small amount of royalties that are paid. A friend of mine in Christian music has multiple songs up on Spotify, and he says, you know, he gets a check every time, although they're rather small for him. But every time someone streams that music, it generates royalties because the streaming services have to pay royalties based upon the number of streams. But the way this particular individual in the indictment from North Carolina got around that was generating bots to artificially inflate those numbers. So he was getting royalties from Spotify and Apple and YouTube and so forth, instead of it going to legitimate artists.
Let's turn to technology and elections, Brad. The campaigns want to energize supporters online, and that means a lot of younger voters. And that could mean that some of those supporters would be tempted to take selfies with their completed ballots. There are questions now about whether it is legal to take a picture of your completed ballot and share it.
Well, this, Megan, is a trend right now. I've saw it personally throughout the primary season where people would take selfies of themselves casting ballots. I've saw some selfies of people with their children, or they take their small kids in to emphasize this is what democracy looks like when we vote. And so, unfortunately, there are laws both in Illinois and Missouri that prohibit that. In fact, it's specifically prohibited under Missouri and Illinois law. You're not allowed to take a picture or to publicize the casting of a ballot. And these laws were passed. In fact, most states, I think 44 different states have laws like this, Megan, where it's designed to protect the integrity of the voting system. However, there's a very large concern that this violates the free speech. I mean, for example, New Hampshire in 2014 passed a law exactly like what exists in Missouri and Illinois. It was challenged in federal court, and the courts ruled in 2016 that this violates the First Amendment, because in a situation like this, this is political speech, and political speech, like religious speech, enjoys the highest level of protection under the First Amendment. And so the government has to show a compelling government interest to stop that. And really, in this New Hampshire case, there was no compelling government interest. There was no evidence of voter fraud or voter buying or coercion. It was just, we think this is a bad idea, but when it comes to freedom of speech, that's not a high enough bar to allow the government to prohibit that type of speech.
Interesting. So just take a picture of yourself with your little sticker or something, right?
If you want to avoid getting into any legal entanglements, everybody gets those I voted today stickers, and you can take a picture of that, and it won't violate Missouri or Illinois law. Or if you're a contrarian like me, maybe you want to challenge the law. But regardless, the safe way is don't take a selfie of your ballot.
So realistically, if someone wants to push this, what trouble would they get into? Like legally, well, what would be the penalty?
Well, I could not find any instances in either Missouri or Illinois where anyone has been prosecuted. These are considered misdemeanor offenses, so they're not no one's going to face prison time or jail time if they are arrested for doing this. But I really do think that New Hampshire challenge demonstrates that anyone who actually challenges these laws in Missouri or Illinois would most likely prevail, because it is the quintessential political free speech to say, not only I voted, but here's who I supported, and that's what the First Amendment is all about.
Always appreciate visiting with KMOX legal analyst Brad Young, partner at Harris, Dowell, Fisher & Young. Have a great rest of your day.
You too, Tom.